This morning, our scripture reading will be from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them.
Good morning. As Mike stated a few weeks ago when he started, he had the first two early topics this month, and he had stated that we were going to do something a little different, where Mike and I are not staying on the same topic, but we've picked our own. He's talking about lessons from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's off the top of my head. I think that's what he's doing. So I've chosen a little bit more, I don't want to say whimsical, because that doesn't make it sound like it's a serious topic, but lessons that we can learn from nursery school songs, or Sunday school songs, I should say, in particular. And this week I've chosen a fairly well-known song by most of us. Those of us who may have grown up in the church, I'm sure have sung it plenty of times. This Little Light of Mine. It's a song that kids have sung for generations, and it's a very easy to sing song, something that the kids can talk about. But it says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then later it says, well, I put my, you know, put it under a bushel. And they say, no, I'm going to let it shine. So the basic points of the song aren't that hard to understand, but it's worthy of some exploration. A couple things we need to ask ourselves is, well, what is the light? What light are we talking about? And then the second thing is, well, what does this light do? Well, light itself is an amazing thing. It lacks any physical properties. You can't grasp light. You can't hold light. You can't do physically anything to light other than bounce it off of a mirror or something along those lines. But it has a lot of different ways that it can impact other things. It's, at its essence, it's a wave of energy that our eyes can detect and illuminates things for us. But that's not the type of light we're talking about here. This light that we're talking about is a spiritual light. And even in that, well, prism of looking at it, it could be a couple of different things, even on a spiritual nature. It could be the truth. It could be the Bible. It could be our example in the world, which in some respect is. But if you look at the Bible and you read what the scriptures tell us, the light without any doubt is Christ. John chapter 12, verses 44 through 46 reads, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus says that when you see me, you see the reflection of my Father who sent me. You see the Father. And it says you're able to see that because I'm light. And my light is able to cut through the darkness of the world. We all start out in darkness. We all have a sinful nature that represents this darkness. But in general, even if you don't think of it just on a spiritual level, darkness is rarely good. Rarely do you like being in the dark, unless it's a surprise party, and then it's going to be off pretty quickly. Darkness is a scary place many times. Have you ever been somewhere where you literally can't see the hand in front of your face? It could be unsettling if you think about it. Bad things happen easily in the dark. How many times have you walked in a dark room and you've bumped your shin against a coffee table? Or I didn't have to worry about this, but I hear, you know, parents stepping on Legos at 2 a.m. or something like that. That I see some nodding heads. That is not a fun thing. If you're in the daylight, you would see those things much more easier. And crime happens more often at night because darkness hides a lot of things. Attackers can hide themselves. A thief can, in the dark of night, break into a car or something where people aren't generally looking. So darkness in general, in our world, has probably more bad connotations than positive ones. But God has a way for us to escape from the spiritual darkness, the sinful nature that we all have. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 reads, this is in his greetings to the Colossians, starting in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. We're going to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is what we're promised, and God has sent Jesus to provide that light, to rescue us from darkness. This passage tells us that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Now, dominion means power, authority, control, dominance. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has been under the control of darkness. But we needed to be rescued from that. And so when we are saved, we're transported into this kingdom of light where we can then share in the inheritance with others. I came across this story when I was just doing some research for this that I think represents this pretty well. Family went to visit, a cavern. You know, you go into these, there's Ohio caverns not too far up to the northeast of us and so forth. And invariably, when you get in the middle of one of those tours, they turn off all the lights to just show how dark it can be down under the earth or in the earth. And when that happened, this family was there and had a little boy and a little girl. And the little girl started to get very scared and started to react. And her older brother said, "Don't cry. I'm sure there's someone here who knows how to turn the lights back on." The idea being that the darkness was there, but it was under control. And in a sense, this is the message of the gospel. The gospel can take control of the darkness, can allow you to escape it, and can provide the light that is needed for that. So just like those caverns, we don't have to stay in the darkness. There's someone who knows how to help you escape from the darkness. Unfortunately, just because the light is available to help you escape from that darkness, as we know, it's not hard to understand looking through the world. Not everyone takes advantage of the light. There are some who just don't want to see the light of Christ for what it is. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I used this verse a few weeks ago when I was teaching on Wednesday night, talking about when Jesus was being tempted by Christ, that the devil is the leader of this world. And in this passage, this is the verse I used, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light. The light, of course, being the gospel, which is Christ. And the devil has blinded their eyes, but it doesn't mean it's impossible to overcome this. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have been able to say what he did just a couple verses later in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul said, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul wouldn't be able to say this if there wasn't a method for anyone who wanted to see the light and to walk in the light to be able to do so. So it's not that we don't have an opportunity to see it or to take advantage of it. It's just that there are those who choose not to and don't want to see it. So why wouldn't someone want to see the light? Well, if you go back to that illustration I used of someone who was waiting to attack someone in a dark alley, or someone who was wanting to break in to a backyard, I don't know about you, but I have a light above my garage that if someone walks in front of it, the light goes on when it's at night. Well, they'd be exposed if that was the case. And so fear of exposure is something that people in the darkness may not want to have to deal with what they're doing. Let's go to John chapter 3, starting with verse 16, probably the most well-known passage in the Bible, but let's go from 16 down to verse 20 of John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This series of verses plainly explains that people who like being in the darkness, are afraid of the light. They don't want to be exposed. They aren't looking for the light because, honestly, they're more comfortable where they are. They're more comfortable in the darkness, where not only are they blinded to the fact that the darkness is bad, they're blind that they're on their own pathway to destruction, but not only do they not want to be exposed for others to see, in a lot of cases, they themselves don't want to see where their life has begun. I know when my favorite sports team doesn't win, and I don't want to read the paper the next day. I don't want to read about that. It's something I'd rather not deal with. And a lot of people take that attitude with sin in their life. They just want to ignore it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to have anyone tell them what they should or should not be doing. And so they choose to stay where they are in that darkness. But Jesus is the light of the world, who wants to show them their reality. He wants to help them see where they need to change. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "And again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light is good in that it does help us to be able to see things around us. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit shows us things in the world, in ourselves and in others, that we never saw before. The light of Christ helps us see the sin in our lives for what it really is. That it's separation from God, that it's separation from a home that's waiting for us in heaven. But really, it shows us that sin is the ugliness and really the path to destruction that we are on. In the wisdom of light, we can more clearly see those attackers, those robbers that may be waiting on us. Light can help us see the things that want to hurt us. The light helps us to recognize, the spiritual light, I should say, will help us recognize the things in our life, the false perceptions we have, the deceptions that we go through to avoid being in the light. And we also do that to avoid us seeing the mistakes that we made. In the darkness, we are vulnerable, but the light of Christ will protect us. It'll give us the power, the insight, and the clarity that we need to be able to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And without Him, we would still be in the darkness. Now, I told you there'd be a second point of the lesson. Well, what does the light do, really? Well, if we had the fear of exposure, well, the light does the exposing. In Job chapter 12, verse 22, we read, "He uncovers the deeps out of darkness and brings deep darkness to light." Light revealing what's in the darkness can, in our case, mean a couple of different things. It exposes the hidden dangers, as I've mentioned, you know, several times before. An attacker will use the dark and the quiet to attack someone who's not exposing, but, you know, not suspecting anything. But if that person has a flashlight when they're walking through that alley or walking in a backyard or whatever, they can see the attacker and avoid them, or if they are capable, to defend themselves from that person. So the light will expose those dangers. It also exposes hidden sins and secrets that people are hiding. We have to be prepared to face what's in that darkness. And like I said, we often become too comfortable with what the darkness hides. But the light will help us reflect on what we're doing and help us realize that we need to stop and we need to reflect upon that and turn from that. But light also warms. One of the qualities of light is that it can give off heat. Anybody who's ever tried to take a light bulb out right after you turn the light switch off, you're gonna have a pretty hot bulb that you gotta touch. So they give off light, and that light generates heat. You know, who doesn't like sitting around a fire pit on a cool evening or in front of a fireplace when it's really, really cold? I mean, we understand the heat that comes in. Spiritually, we can use the light in the same way. We can use our light as an example, and we can help people with maybe speaking words of comfort to them. Maybe we can encourage them, and we need to speak the kind words that will warm someone's heart. And we also need to be the light that brightens someone's day. Proverbs 12, verse 25 simply says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Never hurts to say something nice to somebody. Depending on the person, they may be wondering what you're up to, but over time, if you do it often enough, they'll realize that you are just looking out for someone and you want them to be well. And of course, light brightens. As Christians, we need to be this way. We need to be shining the light of Christ with those that we are around, whether that's our family members that may not be Christians, our co-workers, our classmates, whatever the case may be. We need to be shining back the light that Christ represents in our lives. And our example should be bright and easy to be seen. Now, if you remember the lyrics to the song, it asks us whether we should hide it under a bushel. And resoundingly, the response is no. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus touches on this very thought. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, while on the Mount, Jesus made this statement, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Well, the physical representation there is easy to understand. If you have a light or a candle or a light bulb or something, and you put something over top of it, you put a container, or in this case it was a basket or a bushel, depending upon what you may be reading, it's going to block out that light. It's, at the very least, it's going to minimize its effectiveness. It's not hard to understand why that would be counterintuitive to wanting to have a light on. In the same way, our example, our light, we could be putting a spiritual basket over it. And that's done by, honestly, loving the things of this world. Going back into that state of darkness, of that sin that we had escaped previously. We put our light under a basket when we choose to to love the world more than we love the Lord. If we have the light of Christ in us, and we get caught up in this world and materialism and so forth, then we are spiritually putting a basket over our light, over our example. In the passage that Andy read in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "You're now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Try to understand what it is that pleases the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead use your light to expose them." Don't put that basket over your example. Don't keep it in the closet. Don't keep it hidden. Bring it out. Let people see so you can help them understand the darkness that they're in. So the lesson we take from this song is that when we let our light shine, it can make a huge impact. So don't hide your light. Expose it. If you've got those three-way bulbs, put it up on the third notch. You know, let your light be as bright as you can make it. And we need to let it shine around the world and expose the darkness that we are in. Brother Gary has the prayer. And after that, after a short pause, we'll begin our classes.